Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior years shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. Think retirement, and you could think less stress, perhaps travel, time with the grandchildren, catch up on your reading, or volunteering. You probably don't think problem drinking. But today's program, The Danger of Overage Drinking, offers a serious message. I'll begin with the first three paragraphs from the U.S. News May 13, 2015 issue. An extra shot of bourbon? One more glass of Chardonnay? Having another can often go unnoticed or ignored when it's an older adult who's doing the drinking. After all, grandpa's lived a long life and shouldn't be denied his own cough medicine. But there's a growing concern and research that shows such an approach can be wrongheaded. In fact, as far back as 1998, the U.S. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration warned that alcohol and prescription drug problems among adults 60 and older were among the fastest-growing health issues facing the country, expressing worry about an invisible epidemic of substance abuse among seniors. More recent articles from Next Avenue emphasizing the seriousness of the problem include, from April 5, 2017, six links between retirement and alcohol abuse, February 23, 2016's Are You at Risk for Alcohol or Drug Addiction? And from May 13, 2016, Four Reasons More Boomers Are Hooked on Drugs and Alcohol. So I'm going to start with Six Links Between Retirement and Alcohol Abuse by Sarah Yogev. When a person is retiring, the elimination of work as a life structuring factor is often reduced psychological well-being. Many retirees report loss of status, identity, and employment-based social support. Some feel a loss of purpose. Sadly, some people who find the adjustment to retirement difficult resort to increased alcohol consumption and sometimes alcohol abuse. A new study shows that drinking is increasing among the 60 and older group, especially women. Between 1997 and 2014, the number of current drinkers among men 60-plus rose by 0.7% per year. Among women 60-plus, the number of current drinkers rose 1.6% per year. Both groups drank about the same average volume over time, but while binge drinking remained stable for men, it increased for women by 3.7% per year, the study said. And that's according to a March 24th study in the journal Alcoholism, Clinical and Experimental Research that was based on the 65,303 respondent National Health Interview surveys. Several other studies have found that retirement leads to increased alcohol drinking and that alcoholism can rapidly advance in this age group. Indeed, alcohol is the most common form of substance abuse by older adults. Nearly 3 million Americans age 55 and older suffer from alcohol abuse. By some estimates, that figure will reach roughly 6 million by 2020. And a 2009 study in the American Journal of Psychiatry found that among adults aged 75 to 85, roughly 27% of women and a disconcerting 49% of men drank beyond the recommended guidelines for their age. So the general consensus is that retirement can be a potential trigger for new or increased alcohol use disorders among older adults. Common reasons given for the turning to liquor in retirement: to cheer myself up, combat loneliness, relieve tension, and counter boredom. In addition, the newfound leisure time also encourages increased alcohol consumption. When drinking becomes at-risk drinking, the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism and the American Geriatrics Society recommends no more than 7 drinks per week and or 2 drinks per one occasion for adults over 65. Anything above those levels is considered at-risk drinking, which might cause relationship difficulties or health complications such as hypertension, damage to the heart and liver, and being more prone to accidents. These drink figures may sound low, but that's because even small quantities of alcohol can have a significant impact on the health and functioning of older adults. As we age, we metabolize alcohol differently, so we become more sensitive to its effects. This means that the same amount we drank when we were younger can cause more intoxication. Often, individuals deny that they have an alcohol difficulty because only dependence is considered by them as a problem. If they can stop drinking for a certain time period, for example, 2 months, they're convinced mistakenly that they don't have an alcohol-related problem. They don't realize that binge or abuse or even misuse is considered a disorder and a health risk. Factors affecting drinking in retirement. 1. Your reason for retiring. Was it voluntary or involuntary? Forced retirement due to health issues, the retiree's or his or her spouse's, or organization pressure? Involuntary retirement is more likely to be related to increased drinking since the retiree didn't have time to plan for it and didn't want to do it. Likewise, voluntary retirement due to a person's own health issues is also associated with increased alcohol consumption. But voluntary retirement for other reasons, such as wanting to travel or spend more time with the grandkids, is not associated with increased alcohol consumption. Your social network. Some occupations have a heavy drinking culture, causing some employees and then those same people as retirees to be problem drinkers. Also, your social network of friends in retirement has an impact. If your new buddies have higher drinking norms than your old ones, be careful. 3. What work was like before you retired? Leaving a stressful work environment might result in less alcohol consumption in retirement, while quitting work that you found rewarding may lead to higher levels of alcohol because it's a source of happiness that has now vanished. Your age at retirement. Alcohol abuse is likely to be more severe among people who retire at a relatively young age, in your 40s, and conversely, among those who continue to work despite being eligible to retire. Both of these groups are likely to drink more in retirement as a way of coping with stressors in their life, such as retiring early due to health issues, or remaining employed with a manual job that's a painful job because of your age. 5. Your financial stress. Facing a dramatic drop in income in retirement causes some people to drink more heavily. Peter A. Bamberger of Tel Aviv University's Faculty of Management recently wrote in the Journal of Work, Aging and Retirement about the 10-year study of substance abuse in retirees that he and Samuel B. Bacharach of Cornell University conducted. Bamberger said, "The study found that serious financial straits in retirement can lead to feeling unstable, lonely, and depressed, which can cause retirees to look to alcohol or drugs for comfort." Your marriage. As I noted in my book, A Couple's Guide to Happy Retirement, roughly 2/3 of retirees experience increased marital conflicts and lowered marital satisfaction in the first 2 years of retirement. These difficulties might also trigger or aggravate alcohol misuse. In summary, retirement per se does not cause alcohol abuse, but conditions underlying the decision to retire and experiences before and after retirement can. And now, Are You at Risk for Alcohol or Drug Addiction by Lori A. Parch. Nobody wants to get any disease, but addiction is one of those conditions that many of us especially want to distance ourselves from. "That's not me," we may tell ourselves. "I can handle my liquor or drug." And most of the time, most of us can. But like pretty much any health issue, alcoholism and drug addiction can strike anyone at any time. And there is good evidence that more Americans are being struck by substance abuse in midlife. A November 2015 New York University study of over 37,000 New Yorkers found that the majority of people, seeking treatment for opioid addiction. This included prescription painkillers like oxycodone, as well as illicit drugs such as heroin, were in their 50s. Between 1996 and 2012, the percentage of people aged 50 to 59 who sought treatment jumped from about 8% of patients in the mid-90s to nearly 36% of patients. Similarly, in 1996, just 1.5% of patients were in their 60s. By 2012, the number had grown to 12%. During the same period, the overall number of people seeking treatment for opioid addiction fell, even while the number of older Americans needing treatment grew significantly. A 2012 report by the Institute of Medicine concluded that as many as 20% of the country's elderly population have one or more mental problems stemming from substance misuse or abuse, which includes alcoholism. So, what's behind the higher rates of addiction to booze and other drugs as we age? Experts say there are a number of factors at play. First, older people have more free time because they aren't working, which is sometimes a cause for excessive drinking, said Dr. Akiker Muhammad, a board-certified psychiatrist in addiction medicine and author of The Anatomy of Addiction, What Science and Research Tells Us About the True Causes, Best Preventive Techniques, and Most Successful Treatments. The extra free time can be due to retirement, but occasionally it's the result of being forced out of work. Other factors, said Muhammad, may include grief over the loss of a spouse, friends, or family members, feeling isolated, health issues, or depression. Depression affects many older adults and can be prompted by declining health or a decrease in financial stability or loss of income, explains Muhammad. Using drugs or alcohol is a common way for many people to cope with depression. While these are some of the most common reasons people of all ages turn to using substances, they are especially common for older adults. What's different when you're older? Well, you may have drunk or taken drugs for years, even decades, and think you're in the clear. But your body likely isn't the same as it was in your 30s or 40s. For starters, you're probably taking at least one legit medication for one condition or another. Americans over 65 account for more than one-third of all spending on prescription meds, says the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Prescribed drugs can interact with one another, with over-the-counter medications and supplements, and yes, with illicit drugs and alcohol as well. Many seniors use legal medications prescribed by a doctor to aid in mental or physical difficulties due to aging, says Muhammad. Adding non-prescription drugs or alcohol to the mix can have adverse effects. An especially common recipe for disaster is combining a nightly cocktail, or more than one, with whatever meds your doctor prescribed. The combination of sedating medications such as benzodiazepines or other sleep aids with alcohol or prescribed opioids is associated with an increased risk of overdose, said Dr. E. Jennifer Edelman, an assistant professor of medicine specializing in addiction medicine at Yale School of Medicine in New Haven, Connecticut. Those ages 55 to 64 are the highest risk for overdose from prescription painkillers, in fact, according to data from the Centers for Disease Control. Edelman cautions, too, that abusing alcohol and/or other drugs makes it less likely that you will stick to the medication regimen your doctor prescribed for you, possibly leading to medication errors, missing doses, or taking too much or too little of the drug, for instance. Simply put, if you've got health issues, too much of any intoxicating substance, legal or not, is going to make those conditions worse in all likelihood. Decreased liver and kidney function can lead to impaired ability to metabolize substances, said Edelman, meaning that if your organs aren't working as well as they once did, your body may not be able to excrete drugs as easily, raising your risk for toxic levels. Cocaine use is associated with spasms of the coronary arteries, premature cardiovascular disease, and arrhythmia, she notes. So, older adults with underlying heart disease who use cocaine, may be particularly likely to experience a heart problem. Alcohol may exacerbate depressive symptoms. Opioids may increase the risk for falls and fractures. When you're over 65, your body handles alcohol differently, notes the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Administration, or SAMHSA. This is because of age-related changes, including a decrease in water in the body, increased sensitivity and decreased tolerance to alcohol, and reduced metabolism of alcohol in the GI tract. Signs to look out for. So, what should you look for, whether in yourself or someone you love, that might point to a problem with addiction? Muhammad and Edelman offer this list. Depression, isolation, wanting to be left alone, acting sneaky or trying to hide things, like drinking, buying drugs, or financial records that would indicate spending on drugs, denial, morning hangovers, sexual dysfunction, sleep disturbances, and doctor shopping, seeing multiple physicians to get prescriptions filled, or asking friends or family to get, buy, or give drugs or alcohol. Other common signs of addiction, including falling, confusion, fatigue, can be confused with normal signs of aging, said Muhammad. It's important to watch for any changes that occur rapidly or become more obvious. And of course, the most obvious sign is when someone is drinking or using drugs more frequently without trying to hide it, he adds. For a complete list of criteria for alcohol use disorder, you can visit the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. How to get help. If you suspect your spouse, family member, or a friend is addicted, express your concerns for the loved one and let them know that help is available, said Edelman, who recommends SAMHSA. Call 800-622-4357. That's 800-662-HELP, or SAMHSA's Behavioral Health Treatment Services Locator to find help in your area, or the National Institute on Drug Abuse as reputable sources for learning more. There are effective treatments, including counseling-based therapies and medication for substance use disorders, she stresses. Wanting to get help is the hardest part for most people with addiction, Muhammad notes. They are usually in denial that they have a problem, and their substance use makes them feel good or normal. He recommends seeing an addiction specialist, since many primary care doctors are not trained in diagnosing or treating addiction. They may dismiss symptoms, which could delay much-needed treatment and make things worse, said Muhammad. Whoever you or your loved one sees, make sure a full medical assessment is done at the onset, including an evaluation of any other mental health disorders. And now, 4 Reasons More Boomers Are Hooked on Drugs and Alcohol by Emily Gernon, May 2016, Next Avenue. A book published by Hazelden Publishing and AARP gives much-needed guidance to those who loved ones may be misusing drugs or alcohol. Not as prescribed, recognizing and facing alcohol and drug misuse in older adults by Dr. Harry Harutunyan, describes the common denominators of misuse or addiction and the dangers of combining certain prescription medications. The book also offers suggestions for loved ones on what to do to help. Harutunyan, an authority on addiction, serves as physician director of professional and residential programs at the Betty Ford Center in Rancho Mirage, California. Particularly interesting elements of the book include a discussion of which prescription drugs can cause dementia-like symptoms. A couple of examples cited are antihistamines and antidepressants. Combinations of such drugs are especially likely to produce behavior that looks like dementia. An excerpt from the introduction to the book, Not as Prescribed. Over the years, society has adopted quite a few derogatory descriptors for alcoholics and addicts: drunkard, junkie, wino, sot. Those words might stir up thoughts of slovenly, obnoxious, foul-smelling panhandlers stumbling through the streets, or dazed, scab-ridden youths lounging in a coma-like state in some godforsaken apartment or abandoned warehouse on the wrong side of town. The stereotypical thoughts and images these words conjure up are true in some cases, but they are only a very small part of the picture. Addiction and drug misuse encompass a much larger group of people and extend far beyond dingy bars and dark alleys. The disease of addiction, yes, addiction is a diagnosable disorder, is what we in the addiction recovery field call an equal opportunity destroyer. Alcohol and drug misuse, from mild abuse to full-blown addiction, can affect anyone, regardless of race, gender, nationality, profession, income level, religious affiliation, or age. This includes older adults, moms and dads, grandparents, great-grandparents, retirees, neighbors, friends, co-workers, and even those who have never experienced a problem with alcohol or other drugs during earlier life stages. It might be hard to imagine a 70-year-old grandfather passed out in the recliner from combining his prescription painkillers with scotch, but it's happening, and for a host of reasons, it's happening at an alarming rate. Drug misuse and addiction are, among older adults, defined as men and women age 50 and older. Addiction, whether ongoing or late onset, leads to increased hospital admissions, emergency department visits, and psychiatric hospital admissions. In fact, older adults are hospitalized as often for alcohol-related problems as they are for heart attacks, one of the nation's leading killers. Notice that addiction is considered a health problem, not a moral failing or a sin, but a problem that comprises the health and welfare of those it affects, the addict and at least 5 to 10 family members, friends, co-workers, employers, or anyone touched by the addict's actions. And a person doesn't have to be addicted to have his or her alcohol or drug misuse cause physical and mental health problems, as well as concern among friends and loved ones. 4 major factors contribute to the large number of older adults now having problems with alcohol or drugs. Every day for the next 20 years, 8,000 to 10,000 boomers in the United States will reach age 65, and many will retire with time on their hands. Second, about 50% of those who make up the boomer generation grew up experimenting with illegal drugs, even if only briefly. When careers and raising a family took precedence, most of this generation gave up their attachment to mood-altering substances. But in retirement, or as empty nesters, a growing number of boomers are reverting to using drugs as a means of dealing with the stressors that can accompany aging, including boredom, health issues, and financial worries, as well as loss of a spouse, loss of identity, and in some cases, loss of a certain degree of freedom. The third, since the late 1990s, when the medical community began monitoring pain as a fifth vital sign, in addition to temperature, heartbeat, breathing, rate, and blood pressure, prescription painkiller use has experienced a dramatic rise in the United States. Worldwide, Americans take the lead, consuming about 80% of all prescription painkillers. Painkillers such as OxyContin and Vicodin fall into a highly addictive class of drugs called opioids, which also includes heroin. Since 2002, use of prescription painkillers has doubled. The result? From 1999 to 2008, the number of people being treated for opioid abuse increased 400%. And those who can no longer manage to get their drugs via prescription are turning to the street, where dealers have these pills readily available, as well as very pure heroin, which is stronger and often cheaper than pills, creating an epidemic of frequently fatal overdoses across the country. Fourth, Older adults have been conditioned to turn to drugs for relief, whether taking a couple of ibuprofen to soothe an inflamed joint or an opioid painkiller for major back pain. According to a U.S. Census report, as many as 92% of U.S. adults live with at least one chronic condition. 41% have three or more conditions. Each year, doctors write 17 million tranquilizer prescriptions for older adults, including for benzodiazepines like Valium, Xanax, and Ativan, the most widely misused class of drugs among that age group. In 2014, more than twice as many prescriptions as those younger than 65. This is for a nation of 290 million people. Older adults may have been comfortable using drugs in their youth. They trust their doctors to prescribe only medication that's good for them, and they trust the television commercials promoting prescription drugs. And who can blame them? Pharmaceuticals have their place in the world. They reduce suffering for millions of people every day. The problem starts when the drugs stop helping and start hurting instead. In some cases, the drug combination, whether mood-altering or not, is the culprit. In these situations, addiction is not the issue. Toxic drug combinations, some of which produce dementia-like symptoms, are the problem. But when people cross the line from normal use to misuse, and then dependence, addiction starts running the show. And when addiction takes over, the negative consequences start piling up and affecting loved ones. Not just for kids. Few older adults start out with a hedonistic urge to get high. Most are following doctors' orders, taking medications as prescribed. Others have been victimized by polypharmacy, taking multiple medications to help with various health issues, the result of seeing multiple doctors who don't talk to each other. Others begin drinking or smoking marijuana to numb feelings of loneliness or depression that can be common in older adults for a variety of reasons. The effects of the recent decriminalization and legalization of medical marijuana in some states, as of this writing, are still largely unknown. Regardless of intention or age, the result of addiction are the same. Addiction destroys lives and families, but recovery is possible. Well, that's a lot to think about. It dispels the possible erroneous perception that elders aren't susceptible to drug and alcohol problems. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for the show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.